Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Yeah, yeah. Welcome to Ambridge on the Couch, an in-depth look at the Archers with me, Harriet Carmichael, Lucy... Oh, I was going to say Lucy Thomas. Oops.
Ah!
Lucy Freeman, Matt Rodriguez Everett, and James Payne. Now, before we make
we'll
a start
letters,
on your emails,
we'll have
let's have a recap on what happened this week in Ambridge.
We began the week with poor Azra being forced around the village as if she's on a history field trip with Joy and Mick. They bumped into Linda at Lower Loxley, who told her all the must-sees, including going to a remote corner of the estate to look at mint. There also seems to be pigs running loose all over the place, which nobody much paid any attention to. Who is actually in charge of Lower Loxley? Azra then embarked on a frankly suicidal course of honesty in which she declared her intention of not joining in any community events or getting involved with the village in any way. I was quaking at this heresy and then remembered that Helen's got away with doing sod all for the village for years. So Azra just needs to make herself a highly strung irritant and she'll be fine. Meanwhile, things were not going well at the Nest. Alice had had a drink or several and Jakob discovered her and asked why she hadn't discussed it with the family before she'd drunk herself off the sofa and under the coffee table. Alice said thoughtfully what I thought was the understatement of the century. Yes, that would have been better. She went on to con Jakob into thinking she'd talked to her sponsor when really she hadn't, which was annoying on two levels. One, because she lied. And secondly, because I missed a chance to hear Catherine Jakeways. Chelsea's training in high-pressure sales at Lower Loxley was not going down well at the tea rooms, where the elderly were being viewed by Chelsea as the equivalent of bed blockers in a busy hospital and were being stretchered into the corridor. At the restaurant recently, I watched two old ladies eat cappuccino froth with a teaspoon and they were at it for 40 minutes while I was waiting to clear. So I did sympathise, but at the same time, this dynamic money-making approach is not going to go down well at Bridge Farm as they've never seen it before. They're much more comfortable with things wobbling on at a loss before they collapse entirely. This urging people to buy things is all a bit go-getting Gordon Gekko. Who are these nut jobs who are coming to see Bartleby? Have people nothing better to do? Linda should be ashamed of herself and it's all just weird. Whatever it was, and it seemed to involve what I presume is a TikTok account and a booth, the Grundy males imploded, even though William kept dashing about trying to remind everyone that they were family. Denise, what is going on at your end? It sounded like thumping.
I'm typing notes.
Denise and Alistair.
No, I'm just typing. Every time you remind me of an episode, I just write
thing.
It down.
Denise and Alistair had a chat about their near sexy time while pinning an elderly cat with kidney disease down to the veterinary table. Ooh, romantic. They decided that rather than attempting to do it on the altar, they might be more comfortable with somewhere with a bed or at the very least not a crucifix. So he suggested a night in at Green Knackers while Alistair got a takeaway in and played the sort of organ music that accompanies Dracula sitting bolt upright in a coffin. Denise turned Alistair down like a bedspread as the idea of getting it on in Jimmy's recliner sofa with a tube of Dentifix on the arm wasn't floating her boat. So instead, she bizarrely suggested that they had a swim at a hotel, as she clearly finds Veruca plasters more of an aphrodisiac. And we ended the week with George clicking his fingers at a waiter and laughing at the posh food on a menu. I disagreed heartily with the first, but nodded at the second. Being charged 18 quid for a plate of broccoli with almonds is no joke. And the inevitable happening... and the Aldridges clustering together in their shame and booting out poor Jakob. Also, you'd have thought someone as expert a drinker as Auntie Lillian would have spotted someone being three sheets to the wind before she even got to the table.
Yes.
But Alice did obviously hide it well, roaring about crisps. So it's bye-bye, Martha, and back to rehab for Alice Winehouse. The end.
Oh, Lizzie, I hate it. I don't like it. I think I might just stop listening for 3 weeks. Is that okay?
Yeah, until she comes back completely cured for the second time.
Yeah, but forever this time. I know it was so unrealistic to think that she was never going to slip off the wagon.
I know, but
wasn't
it nice? Do you know what I felt again? Because I'm pathetic. I felt huge relief because I thought, oh, good, it's not just me that knows anymore. They know now. I can stop worrying. Someone else can take control of worrying.
Yes.
It's like when Rob and Helen, when everyone found out about Rob, although it was awful. I mean, they found out about it because she tried to put a knife through him. But I sort of thought, you know, great. Someone else knows. It's not just me now. I don't have to cart around this worry. Yeah. The people that need to know. Good. Yes.
We don't have to carry the burden.
Exactly.
It can be shared, which is much nicer. I know, but I suppose the thing is, in a way, it wouldn't bother me, except that, well, it would, but not massively, except that I keep thinking about Chris and Martha and what happens. You know, it's just going to be so horrible. And then Chris is going to want to take Martha, isn't he?
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know, like, I just can't, I don't think I can listen to the anguish anymore. For a little bit, anyway. I might just mute the bits where Alice is mentioned or comes on, and then can't deal with the stress of it.
Voice. Yeah.
Oh.
Well, you've moved house 14 times in a week, so it's understandable that you don't need any more stress.
Yes, exactly. My voice is very tight. And anyway,
your shoulders just under your earlobes.
Can you see them?
I can hear them.
I feel like I've aged 15 years. I went out yesterday because I'm sort of so boring, but I'm sort of because we're living quite far from our base and school and work and everything. I basically loiter now and I loiter in a different location. The house is just for breakfast and sleeping at the end of the day, and then and so I don't ever look in a mirror or anything. And then I came back last night having spent a lot of time with a lot of people. And I looked in the mirror, I was like, oh my God, my hair was like everywhere. It was so frizzy. I had seeds in my teeth and no one had told me. And my skin
probably think
so
that
dry.
When you keep saying, yeah, we're just moving a lot, that you're either being chased by Interpol or you actually are homeless and they're waiting for you to turn up with a dog and a bit of string. That's what's happening.
Mm-hmm. I've never spent so much time doing meetings in a car. And people keep asking me to do voiceovers from home, and I'm like, yep. Also, we're basically
which home,
which is great. We're very grateful. Yeah, exactly. It's embarrassing because I have a home. It's just not ready.
Yeah, I'm just not allowed in it yet.
And we're sort of
they won't have
living
me.
Quite near Heathrow.
Oh my
so
god!
I can't. So recording at home at this other home is quite tricky. Look, can you hear that? Can you hear that? Maybe you can't.
No.
There's a plane that comes past every 5 seconds. Anyway, back to poor old Alice. Oh, it's just really annoying, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can you hear that?
No.
Yeah.
I think you're imagining
it. No, never mind. I know. I mean, first world problems. It's just a plane. People live with them. It's fine. Just been on edge. Just living in lots of suitcases. So I'm not actually living in them, obviously. There's a lot of suitcase gate going on in this new life of mine.
Into the suitcase, and then people could just carry you about to wherever you wanted to go, like a sort of a circus act.
That would actually be easier.
Mm. Then you could just say, drop me off on the Victoria line at about 9:45, and then
it would be so much easier because all I'm doing at the moment, my thighs are like, I'm doing so much cycling. Can you hear my thighs?
Yes.
They're like hard as knuckles, Lucy.
That's good. Then that will take away from the straggly hair and the slightly wurzel gummy teeth, won't it?
Exactly. People can just look at my thighs.
Yeah.
And they don't have to like cringe for me when they see my haggard old face. Anyway, talking of haggard old faces. Why didn't Lillian spot the Alice? I thought it was weird as well that Lillian...
You seem unusually bright and shouting and waving your arms around and leaping to your feet every 2 seconds and shouting about crisps. What could be
the
issue?
It's so hard. I do feel sorry for the actress, don't you? Because poor thing, she either has to do wobble voice or she has to do, oh, no, bright and breezy, I'm fine.
Yeah.
Or it's drunk voice, which is so difficult, yeah. actually. It, yeah. They say, don't they, it's yeah. the hardest thing to play is drunk.
Yeah.
And she's also got to be drunk as an alcoholic. And
yes.
But also as an alcoholic that's just fallen back off the wagon. And
yeah.
it's really difficult, isn't it? And you can't be likable in that state.
No.
So it's pretty horrendous to listen to, I think.
Yeah, and also she must be aware that people are going, oh God, here we go again, you know.
Yeah,
and,
poor and thing, not, yeah, exactly.
I mean, do they care? I mean, do they just think, hooray, that's, you know, that's paid my mortgage for another month, so I don't care really, but, you know.
It's true, at least she's been kept in the storyline. Yeah. I think it's more like the latter, Lucy. Hooray! Because she's not going to be forgotten
It's me
about.
Again!
I think don't you think this will be the last time?
Well,
because they couldn't be happy ever after
also,
she goes to
I
rehab
getting,
and then it's happy ever after.
I didn't read ahead and read the précis of the shows in, you know, the episodes coming up. But that is a bit clickbaity. The things that they write, and then I know that's the point, that, you know, devastation hits a family. And
what
blah,
you
blah,
mean
blah.
When you're reading ahead?
Yes.
Okay.
And there was me, and I was imagining, I thought Bartleby was dying. I thought Alice was going to hit Jacob and blah, blah, blah. Then someone said, oh, no, it always happens on a Sunday. And I'm like, what always happens on a Sunday? What's going on? What's going on? But I'm going to stop because it just stresses me out
even more.
What,
when the shit hits the fan?
Yeah.
That happens on a Sunday? God. So maybe Chris is going to find out. Mm. Also, I'm sad to say I'm not that into the Bartleby stuff.
I couldn't give a...
Are you?
No, not in the slightest. Because I don't understand it. It's really hard to relate to a story that you don't understand. It's like when we have a terrifically agricultural story that's like complicatedly agricultural. If you can't relate to it, you can't engage with it. And all you hear is
although
bad
the agricultural
thing
stuff is... Yes, but agricultural, like technical stuff, is a bit like listening to the cricket, I think. It's quite reassuring.
Yeah.
Because it's the Archers.
Mm.
I don't mind that.
I don't understand how he's making money. I don't understand.
No.
How much.
Well, he's definitely not making money yet, is he?
Well, he must be because otherwise, what did he take them out for dinner with?
No, that was with the money that Eddie made when Eddie was doing the paparazzi shots.
Right.
Yeah,
is he making?
He can't have made any money,
or what?
Well, that's the only way you can make money, isn't it? But then surely you're only going to make money if you've got a sponsor or a
yeah.
And also, I don't really understand because you can't make money from followers unless you become an influencer and then you're sent a load of stuff. But you're not going to make money out of, especially nowadays. I mean, you could have 3 million followers and not still not be a successful influencer, really. I mean, doesn't translate. But it's fine. It's a sort of fantasy storyline. And but I just think it's so unbelievable that it doesn't really float my boat.
No.
I don't. Also, the trouble is the idea of like Linda telling a story to this a horse which has a weird voice. I just can't understand how that would go viral.
And also, I can't even visualise. Is Eddie behind doing the voice? Is he? What is happening? I just don't get it. I can't see it.
No, I think I agree with you. I think that's the thing, isn't it? It's all a bit too off screen, so we don't really understand. What they need to do, actually, is post one of Bartleby's videos on the Archer's social media that doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah. Well, that would be
then we might have more of an idea of it.
Yes. Sorry, the reason I'm clicking is because I can't get the What the Hell is Happening Here clip to work.
I know. Sorry. It's because, dear listeners, poor old Lucy was, was in a lock-in last night.
Yes. I was.
Was locked up. She was locked up all night.
I was barmaiding the lock-in at the pub. And yes.
For a long, long, long time.
So I overslept.
So poor thing. And then And Harry I
said,
made her do
half
this podcast
half past eight
really
and I woke
early
up at 24 minutes past eight, having not listened
in
to
the
yesterday's
old, in the
episode.
Old days, in the old days, you were up with the lark.
I know.
But now that you've got this new life as sort of parading as Chelsea / Emma / Fallon / soon to be Lizzie, Lucy's like literally, her life has gone weird and it's and she has become, she sort of entered this shadow world of the Archers where she's actually living in it. And it's really weird because she keeps telling me things, but and I'm finding it odd because it's all going to get muddled up with what happened in the Archers and what happened in Lucy's village. And I'm going to start talking about the wrong thing and then all sorts of terrible things will happen. But it is very odd, Lucy. You've now become a person of many hats.
I have. A person of many Archers characters. I have gone right off Denise.
Me too. Why don't you like her?
We had a grumpy week this week, didn't we? It wasn't a fun. Oh, we didn't like it.
I hate this because you know how much I love the Archers and I love being positive about it. And some weeks you get amazing episodes and some weeks you don't. And, you know, you have to go with the lows. But I just didn't. I don't know. I think probably I was in a bad mood anyway. But I didn't really enjoy any of the episodes.
No, I didn't.
And I don't know what went wrong with the Alistair and Denise stuff, but I felt like the chemistry went a bit odd. I don't know if it was because Alistair was coming across as too desperate. Because I thought, didn't you think that sexy cricket lady sounded quite fun?
Yes.
You know, the captain of...
That's what I said to Jeff last week.
Can we just get
rid of Denise and her
Denise
Barbara
sometimes comes across...
Can we have that nice lady instead?
I like the Barbara Windsor laugh, but sometimes Denise is a bit of a grump, isn't she? And... I think that she is playing Alistair.
Yes, if you are hot to trot to that extent that you're ripping someone's shirt off in the vestry of the church, and then they go, right, we've got a house to ourselves.
I didn't hear the rip.
We've got 4 hours, like the Incredible Hulk. We've got 4 hours, we've got the house to ourselves. We've got overnight, we've got the house to ourselves. You don't go, oh, sorry, I'm not really feeling the vibe. You go, let's crack on quick, you know.
I thought she was a bit mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Well, if I was Alistair, he's old enough to book a hotel, isn't he? He doesn't really need his dad to leave the house. That's what's a bit strange about
Daddy,
it.
Daddy, can you get out for like...
Big boy.
Probably 45 minutes and make a big noise when you come back in. That's really important. Put a chair against the door.
I mean, it was really sweet of Jim to go and have a sleepover at Robert's, but this is what bothered me about the week.
Can I come to your house?
Such weird things happened.
Nobody was behaving like
oddness.
Yes. Much oddness.
That Jim and Robert are going to do an all-nighter over a puzzle and Jim's going to stay the night in a...
And can I stay at yours?
So that Alistair can have a free house.
It's fine. Your mum won't have to bring a sleeping bag. Your mum won't have to do the sheets or anything.
As far as we know, Alistair and Denise haven't even been on a date. That would have been my first. If I was Alistair, I would have just said, yes. Shall we go out for dinner?
Yeah.
And relax
well,
and have
well,
some
he
wine.
Invited her and she said yes and then no, which is a bit of a pattern, isn't it? I'm not saying that women are fickle. She's... I'm saying Denise is fickle. And playing
it's tricky
him
for
like
her.
A violin. But anyway.
Yeah, well, it's tricky for her because she's still torn, isn't she, between keeping her family home life going for Paul's sake.
Well, sometimes she appears to not give a
sexy vet.
Not give a monkeys about that. And then sometimes it seems to be terribly, terribly important.
Yes.
You make up your mind. She can everyone just be consistent? Whatever you do, just keep doing it. Stop buggering around.
But yeah, there was something about Denise that I wasn't... I just felt like the Denise and Alistair thing had lost any excitement this week in a way. And then it was weird, wasn't it? Like, oh, I love swimming. Is that okay? What's that got to do with... I mean, why don't you just go out?
Sexy.
Go to the cinema. Just,
yeah, yes.
I love swimming.
See if you still fancy each other when you haven't got the smell of anaesthetic in your nostrils. Yes. And, you know, yeah.
That's the thing. I love swimming, but as a first date... No, it wouldn't be swimming for me. No.
No.
A, you have to... you'd epilate anyway, but you want the epilation to be... Well, no, maybe you wouldn't. As they say on the adverts now, if you choose to remove hair from your body, that is great and you might want to... But like,
what you're saying is it's a lot of effort,
swimming,
isn't it? Yes.
It's a lot of effort. It's a lot of effort for not looking your best.
Yeah.
Once you've got your head in that... Because you can't wear makeup.
No, and you've got your head in a condom, basically. And also you spend half the time in the changing room, so you're not even with the person. It's stupid.
And it's probably a little bit cold... That water.
And there'll be teenage boys splashing you and, you know. And you remember those... There used to be signs in the corner of the swimming pool that said, no heavy petting, no smoking, no dive bombing, no heavy petting.
I assume if it's a hotel swimming pool, you're not going to get plasters. But you might. And you might get heavy... You might get
hair
boys.
Extensions. That's my... long hair that floats along in the water with you and then wraps around your fingers. Oh,
you would not want to go swimming with me, Lucy.
I wouldn't.
Hair sheds like...
Especially now. Now you're a rattled bag lady. Coming out in handfuls. No, like a sort of mangy cat.
My hair is literally coming out in handfuls. But you would see a lot of... Long blonde
on the plus
strands.
Side, though, you get to give your teeth a swirl while you're going through the chlorine, so that's good.
I just can't believe it's because I haven't looked in a mirror. I'm not looking in a mirror again. Okay, actually. Until the blooming sun comes out, make my face look healthier.
Yes.
No, but that's first date in the south of France. Go swimming, lovely. Go to the beach.
Yeah, not at a hotel pool. You have to bring your little bag.
I mean, it'll be Gay Greybles.
Yeah.
Also then what? Yeah. No. Just go for dinner, guys. Come on. Yeah. Come on now. It's all a bit odd.
Jane Stevenson said about it. Having your own father set up an opportunity for a sex session is so terrible. I think I found that more cringeworthy than anything listened to in a long time. My toes still curl when I think about it. Also, what about Denise? She is all over the place. Even if they do have sex, it won't necessarily clarify things. Yes.
I know, but I think Alistair probably shouldn't have mentioned the fact that Jim had gone out so that they could... It was all a bit weird, wasn't it? Like he was like, well, Jim, my dad's gone out so that we can have sex. Yeah. And it was... Well, I mean, he didn't say that, obviously, but I wouldn't have even mentioned my dad in that situation.
No.
I would have just pretended it was a spontaneous, let's have dinner, you know.
Yes.
I'll cook you a roast chicken or whatever his go-to dish is.
Yeah.
I think
and
that
also,
cricket lady's well
can
out
I
of
just
it.
Say, they had curry, right? You don't have curry if you're planning on a bit of the old humpy bumpy. You don't.
Because, did they have takeaway curry?
Yeah. Because you become bloated.
No.
And a bit farty. And all you want
your tummy
to do is
goes
have a
sloshy.
Little, yes, and all you want to do is have a little sleep. Mm. You don't want a great big vet bouncing up and down on top of you. You just don't. Well, I don't. No. Anyway.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I can't. If I'm eating a curry, I then need about 3 hours to digest it. And then I could only go straight to bed, really.
Yes.
Because it's too much. You're right. There's too much activity going on in your stomach and too much energy being used up in there for you to contemplate being a sexy lady.
And having to, you know, you can't subtly undo the button on your jeans if you've then got to do it back up again for someone else to undo the button of your jeans a bit later. Ridiculous. And why was he playing the music from Dracula in the background as well? That's not romantic either. She said, oh, it's happy music. And I thought, what? Oh, well, you're perfect for each other then because you're both nuts.
I think actually, Lucy, we should actually be more sympathetic to Denise. No wonder she's flip-flopping. Also, work scenario, sexy. White coat.
Stock cupboard. Yeah.
The forbiddenness of it.
Exactly.
That is arousing. But then
but
I guess, you know, the other
room,
side
goes,
isn't.
Nah.
Oh, dear. And this, oh, God. Yeah, no. Next.
Sorry, I just drank about a pint of coffee in 2 seconds.
I liked what I... What I did like was Chelsea doing overselling at the tea room. I thought that was funny. And every time she was like, well, that's what we do in the orangery. And it would be like, yeah, that's not what you do here. But I did find that really funny, actually. Can I get it? Because it's so annoying when people do that. But of course, that'll be Elizabeth's culture, won't it? Upsell.
Did you check if they wanted? Tell them it's extra for cream. And if they look gullible, tell them it's a lot extra for cream.
And the thing is, someone hovering over your table, you scarper. Mm. Mm. And that's fine. I think like in a lot of cafes, people are there for over 2 hours on their laptops, which is not acceptable if you're only buying one coffee.
No, but and if you don't need the table and you want to look busy, then it's fine.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter. Oh, God. But that was embarrassing. And also Chelsea's got more tact than that. And she does like the olds, and she wouldn't do that, I don't think. She knows what's rude and she knows what's not.
Except that her priority is always business, money, yeah, and success. And therefore, I actually thought that was quite Chelsea to do that, because she wants to sort of she wants to put her own stamp on
it. I love
the
way that her voice
and make it commercially successful.
I love the way that her voice, she kind of bubbles over when she's excited. I got rid of some old followers. She's just, I don't know, she's just got such a appealing voice. There is there is a girl who works in our kitchens who is so Chelsea, even to the extent of being rude to the chef and then going, sorry, chef, can I say that? After she's been rude to him, and he says, no, you bloody can't. But anyway, yes, she's very, very, she sounds exactly like Chelsea, and she actually looks like I imagine Chelsea looks. So in my head, she's just Chelsea.
I told you, you're like living in, you know, like when you open a book and then you get dragged into.
She said to me the other day, I think she's about sort of 17. She said the other day, I made a mistake. I forgot where something was. And I said, I'm really sorry. Where's the cream again? She said, it's here. She said, don't worry, I got loads of things wrong when I started. If you want to know anything, just ask me, because I'm sort of an expert, she said. Oh, God, that's so Chelsea. You're so Chelsea.
So funny, Lucy, isn't it? That you have like been sucked into this this parallel universe of the Archers.
Yes.
I love it.
Bless her. Denise Durocher, who has got to be audience award for most optimistic listener, right?
Oh, yeah.
Denise Durocher had to listen twice to the episode with Alice when she went back on the booze. She said, when Auntie Lillian made soup for Alice and left the house and we hear Alice in the kitchen opening cupboard doors and pouring liquid, I thought to myself, I've never heard anyone eat soup like that. She said, it was so strange, but I went along with it. It's only when I heard your podcast, I realised she had a hidden bottle and was having a drink.
Oh, no. I mean, our Denise, hearts suck. Because,
I love that, though, that she's like, well, she wouldn't be having a drink, so it must be soup.
But I kept thinking that too, even when Jakob went round and she'd missed the, you know, telling the nursery about pickup, and obviously you could tell, obviously she was hungover, but I was thinking, well, no, but maybe this is like just a red herring and she's genuinely just under the weather and we're being led to think that she's drinking. But it's just so annoying.
And also she's picked, because last week when it was Jakob that she was talking to about everything and saying, yeah, no, don't worry, I'll talk to my sponsor, I promise. And him going, well, I want to tell Kate. And I say, no, you don't need to do that. Jeff said, good, because she's talking to the only person in Ambridge who is so literal that.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
He'll kind of, he won't be put off with her saying, no, I'm fine. He'll go, no, I want to check. So he'll keep coming to check on her. But at the same time, I wish it wasn't Jakob, because he believes what she says. When she says, I am talking to my sponsor, it doesn't cross his mind that she isn't. He just goes, okay, good, right then.
But I think Brian was so horrible. I know Brian was like in shock and you know, het up yesterday when he found out about Alice. But he was so vile to Jakob.
Yeah.
And of course, Jakob made a mistake. But But, you know, this, it's not Jacob's fault that Alice is drinking again. I know it's, I know it was all in the moment and the emotion, but I felt really sorry for Jacob, actually. All he was trying to do was do the right thing.
And it's very difficult when it's not your family.
Exactly. You don't know.
No.
You don't know. And if you haven't dealt with an alcoholic person before, you probably don't realise how...
Exactly.
Poor old Jacob.
Yes.
Anyway, God. Oh, Lucy, before I forget...
Yes?
Can I do a shout out to Joe Worth,
yes,
who lives in California, I think, because I've got a great colleague. Well, no, he's a boss slash very high up person in telly, who called Alan, and his beautiful wife, who I think must have been a supermodel because she's so pretty. She went to America recently and was catching up with her friend Joe Worth, and funnily enough, our podcast came up.
No.
And then Fiona said, oh, I know Harriet Carmichael. Anyway, and then it got relayed to me last week. But isn't that a lovely coincidence?
Yes.
They were just talking about podcasts and then our names came up. And then,
they said, have you ever heard those two idiots that talk about the Archers? Is that what they said? When you say our name came up.
Exactly.
Yes. Those two pillocks.
Yes, they didn't.
Yeah, you didn't specify what they
exactly
said about
what
it.
Joe had said.
No.
But that's a lovely coincidence. So hi, Joe, and thank you so much for listening. And it's always exciting when people are listening from America.
Yes, in an away place.
Or anywhere
than in the home.
Far, far away.
Yes.
Yes. I think Joe is British and listens because it's a bit of slice of home.
Oh, okay.
I mean, the Archers.
Yeah. Well, and us, probably.
Listens to the Archers.
Us wibbling on.
Yeah, are we a slice of home? I mean, I'm homeless at the moment, Lucy, so...
Yeah, slice of homeless. this is from Rachel, who says, for the first time since the mid-2000s, I found myself checking social media for synopses of each episode before deciding whether to listen. If Alice features, I'm choosing to delete the episode from my feed and wait for more banal storylines such as cat grooming or Robert's ancient mystery game. I listened to every episode of the Helen and Rob storyline, completely gripped, and I listened to when Alice's alcoholism first became apparent. What's difference? The gap between the initial storyline and its resurgence seems so short. I remember the traumatic scene with Alice and Chris in the bathroom so vividly. An early relapse may be realistic, but is it the best decision for the drama and the listeners? Her alcoholism became apparent in the wake of the COVID pandemic. I don't want to listen to anything that takes me back there, and I'm sure I'm not alone. Martha's silent but very much present, and I'm not prepared to wait until she's Henry's age to find out what impact this may have on her. When Alistair's had gambling relapses, he called his sponsor and we heard him receive guidance and reassurance. Why not now? Because they can't afford to put Catherine Jakeways in it again. And most importantly, I don't feel compelled to listen to unpleasant scenes, as I know you'll summarise and analyse the week in Ambridge so brilliantly on Sunday. Oh, so we're now taking the Archer's audience. That's not
uh-oh.
Exactly what they're not very happy.
Holly it must Chapman be so plays- hard. Yeah, sorry.
Holly Chapman plays Alice so believably, which is commendable. Shush. But also compounds the issue. I have more in common with Alice than Helen and look forward to seeing her come out the other side of this. Thank you, Rachel.
Yes, I want Alice. Alice should only be about horses.
Yes.
That's it. That should be Alice and horses.
Yes.
That's all we need to hear.
Yeah.
But it must be really hard if you're a scriptwriter and you know that you have the juxtaposition between reality and entertainment, but because they've got to keep it real, haven't they? They've got to keep it realistic.
Yeah.
But that maybe sometimes impacts on our entertainment,
yes,
or our own listener happiness. So it's really tricky, isn't it? But and I would actually, I sort of think, well, actually, I'd rather she had her relapse now while Martha's quite little still.
Yeah.
And then everything's okay for
and
the
also,
rest and happy ever
Chris
after
is a really,
everybody.
I know children need mothers, but Chris is a really good dad and she has grandparents around who are, you know, helpful and supportive and nice and everything. So
she's got, yeah,
it
she's
could
got new
be a lot worse
in
for little
Miranda.
Martha. Yes. Oh, yeah.
Darling Martha.
This is Jane again, Jane Stevenson, who says, I think the storyline is distressing, but very well written and acted. The scene between Jacob and Alice when he found the wine was bloody brilliant. Her voice changes when she's manipulative, gives me chills. There always has to be a tense storyline in a soap. So although none of us want to jump on this merry-go-round again, that is how it would feel in real life. And so I think it is clever. I love the bitch that comes out when she's had a drink. That's very accurate because she started last night didn't she?
And in vino veritas and everything. I know I was really on edge because I thought she was going to start slagging Miranda off or And
which he kind of did.
Oh, it's all horrible.
But you're quite, something, yes. You know, you're classy. Well,
no, well, really, all she said was, I mean, if that's the amount was slagging off. You were like prawn cocktail. I wouldn't say prawn cocktail is a very classy choice of crisp, actually.
No, because it makes you smell for days.
Yes. Mm. It's a bit, yeah. I'd say no. No. I'd say a classy crisp nowadays would be a sort of classic salt and vinegar. Well, a posh salt and vinegar.
Yes.
Or just a sprinkle of sea salt.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would be a
something like Anglesey sea salt and...
Or Piper's. Yeah. Which is terribly expensive, but terribly good.
Thick crisps that actually make you feel like you're eating a potato.
Crisp was your bar serving last night, Lucy?
Nobody was having crisps.
Had a crisp? No. What did they eat with their drink? Food?
No, this is Wales. People don't eat. They concentrate on the drinking, not the no snackage going on.
Nothing to soak up the booze.
No.
So un-Italian. Yeah. Funny that, it being in Wales.
Yes. We have much in common. Not. Right, this is David Thomas, who says, I'll have whatever Alice is having. Many of us are getting tired of the storyline of her recovery, but I think it's been very acutely observed. Recovery is messy and non-linear. I think the deployment of Alice as a saner, rounder character is very true to life until she falls off the wagon. The easy forms of deceit that Alice employs are also very, very realistic. I was married to an alcoholic who later died due to alcohol-related illness. And they know every trick in the book. For months after he died, I was still finding bottles secreted around the house in the most bizarre places. Families and friends also want desperately to believe in an addict's sobriety, but Jacob will live to regret not telling Kate about Alice's drinking. That was a very naive and silly thing to do on his part.
Oh.
Her attempts to fix things in other people are annoying but perfectly understandable. The concept of making amends to those you have hurt is fundamental to 12-step programs. This is what Alice is often trying to do in a cack-handed way sometimes. She's also desperate to save Harry, as converts, of course, make the worst zealots. This is his plot prediction. Jacob will die at the hands of Alice, whether she runs him over on the way to the off or they get in the tussle as she tries to drive to drunk drive. Something's going to happen. We've had lots of funny references to Jacob as Kate's life partner. And this week we had Alice bigging him up. So his days are numbered.
No. That cannot be. No. There was lots of Mick this week, wasn't there?
And
Mick sort of had an introduction again last week. And then it was quite Mick heavy, so he's clearly going to become much more part of the village.
Yeah, I still don't understand whether he is moving in or what he is doing.
He must be. We haven't heard him tell Joy yet that he's got the job at Kay Grable's.
No.
Poor old Azra. Oh, poor Azra. I feel so sorry for her.
We've also had an email from someone, and this is a, if you've got ever had anything to do with eating disorders, then you might want to skip this email, just go on a little bit. But this person says that they had an eating disorder and said when we described somebody emailed in last week and said that they felt disappointed that Alice was keeping Alice alcohol in the house or buying it. So this person had anorexia and said that they spent a lot of time meticulously weighing their food, restricting everything, avoiding situations I couldn't control. Went from weighing 300 plus pounds to 135 pounds over about 18 months.
Oh, God.
But they couldn't keep it up because they hadn't addressed the underlying issues. Mm. So they would buy big bags of crisps, entire cakes, packs of biscuits, thinking, I'm strong enough now to control this and I'll prove it by buying this and having the willpower to use moderation. But they couldn't. And so 15 minutes later, I'd be standing at the sink, shoveling the entire packet in before immediately purging. So, He says, I know at some point my brain will manufacture a reason for why it's okay to binge on a load of junk food, whether it's, oh, it's been a hard few weeks, treat yourself to make things better, or, oh, it's been a great few weeks, treat yourself as a reward. Mm. The brain will find a way around any barrier you put up. Alice is sick. We shouldn't be disappointed in her. Addiction and mental illness in this area is pernicious and at times all-consuming. Yes.
That is a very good point.
Yeah. He said, the logical side of her, which was no doubt screaming, don't do it, versus the alcoholic side.
It's true, actually. It's so awful to be, like everybody was last night, disappointed in her.
Yeah.
But yeah, that, it's true, isn't it? It's an ongoing illness. And I guess you have to be as supportive as you were Yeah. Because actually she's done incredibly well, hasn't she? What is it, over a year she's been sober?
Yeah.
And this is a terrible relapse.
The danger is that you think, right, I've wobbled off once, that's it. I might as well, you know, I might as well just set fire to everything now, when she just needs to get back on again. But whether or not she will, we don't know. Special email for you, Harriet Carmichael.
Oh, yeah.
From Vicky Horton Turner.
Is there a trigger warning with this one?
Nope.
Okay.
Well, it's about the North Star, so you could decide whether or not.
Oh, my gosh. Bring it on.
I was there last about 4 years ago and suspect not much has changed. My brother lived in Flamborough at the time and we stayed there when we visited him and my sister-in-law. The bedrooms had recently been refurbished and ours was extremely chintzy with lots of flouncy things. The dessert trolley was still in use, making regular trips around the dining room, and an entertaining evening was guaranteed. The thing I remember most, however, was my husband being castigated for not having a full English at breakfast. But all the men have a full English, said the waitress, who was properly offended, followed up with, and you've paid for it. I was allowed toast and coffee without comment. It's a lovely old-fashioned hotel and quite unique. Flamborough has always been one of my favourite places and hold lots of happy memories.
Oh, that is such a nice email. Thank you. Oh, I honestly, same for me. A lot of my heart is in Flamborough and Bridlington and around there. It's such a lovely, beautiful place. And you don't meet people like the ones that live around there very often. They're because they're just lovely, lovely. I know it sounds really patronising.
No, I just imagine they are just being lovely, like Patricia Routledge, looking like Patricia Routledge.
No, but their people are kind.
Yeah.
I suppose because also quite a lot of them are a little bit older.
Yes.
Lucy.
Yes.
But people are kind up there, and I have a lot of time for
kindness.
Kind, yes.
Right, we're going to
It's so great to know about the North Star. Thank you.
What the hell? Last week it was Caroline, Lillian, Tony, Eddie and Jim. Jim spoke briefly to say evening Nathan, and it was Nathan Booth who walked in wearing the orange Hawaiian shirt and a lounge suit. And it was Caroline Bone, then Pemberton, first older husband Guy Pemberton, who died, and then Sterling. So thank you, Kate Lloyd-Jones. That's cleared that up for us. So this week... So James says, last week's clip, it was a charity horse race night at the Village Hall to raise money for British soldiers. Alan and Joe had found a bunch of old horse race recordings and decided to run this event to raise money. Nathan Booth wanted Eddie to give him the results so he could win the most money. With the help of Lillian and Jazzet, they tricked Nathan into betting on the wrong horse in the last race, losing all his winnings to charity. That was when Eddie was nice-ish. Anyway, here we go.
What the hell is happening?
Okay.
It's the jacket. Does it feel a bit snug?
It can't be. I told him my size. Although now you come to mention...
Let me print out this seating plan and then I'll check the label for you.
Thanks.
Why isn't it printing?
It appears to be unplugged.
What?
Ah, you probably moved the table, knocked it out. Don't worry. I'll just...
Comedy rip.
How bad is it?
Right down the back.
It's definitely not my size then.
What are you going to tell them?
Well, it's their mistake. There's no way I'm paying for it. What?
It's an email from Matt Crawford.
Oh. Well,
an email from Matt. I love hearing Shula. I love hearing Shula. And everything. I love it. And they don't do enough of that anymore in the Archers. Everybody used to do a lot of effort noises.
Yes.
It's only really Lillian that does it these days.
Yeah.
That was... Was that his... When they were getting married? Or...
No.
I mean, emails had been invented.
I know, I was thinking that. But then I always think of email as being invented about last Wednesday. And actually, it's quite a while ago now.
Probably about 45 years ago.
At least a year, I think. Just before lockdown.
And they had a printer at home. Yeah. I don't know. I sort of assumed he was trying on his wedding jacket or something. Or maybe was it to do with the hunt?
Oh, yes, maybe. A hunt ball. And she's printing off the table plan. Yes.
Oh, yes. Good
thinking, Miss Carmichael.
Good. Hey, we should like do puzzles more often and have a sleepover.
Yay. In a hotel.
Hotel with a swimming pool. yes. Good one.
Right.
Thank you, James.
We are now crossing over to somewhere to listen to a sketch about something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I can't remember which one it is.
Have you got it to drop in, though?
Yeah. Well, Jeff's working on it.
You've got the tape recorder. Oh, okay, fine.
Yes. Yes. The director is working away in the background, making us all sound marvellous. Oh.
Radio Borsetshire.
Colin, how would you describe my physique? For online dating app, choices are Adonis, dad bod or cuddly. I thought Adonis was tracksuit. I don't understand any of those. What? What's dad bod then? Okay, I can wear my Spanx when we meet, so I am put Adonis. Colin, are you laugh? Colin! Stop it! Yes, now! Oh, now. Oh. Hello, it is me, Fabrizio Felpersham, looking like I have just stepped out of the salon, because I have. Today, we are dealing with your romance problems, which is big topic, and one I am very well placed to cover, as I have had my fair share of the romantic melodramas. First, we have a letter from Christine of Borchester, who emailed in. I need romantic advice, please, she say. I've been in an on-again, off-again romantic relationship with a man who says he cares about me, but has too many problems to be in a relationship with anyone. But if the tracking technology is accurate, he'd been using the online dating app Inge every day after telling me he was overwhelmed by life and unavailable. Is this technology unreliable, or is that more men? It is men, Anonymous of Borchester, and I know everyone will say, ooh, track technology, but when you are in a new relationship and not quite sure what to go on, you turn into Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible. Like international spy with your laptop and checking whether message have been received, who is that person on his Insta, let me take a photo of his WhatsApp profile so I can blow it up and see who is in background. Some people even look on LinkedIn, but that is quite boring and usually just say people are delighted or proud to announce that they have been made head of soup or something, which is not very style. Also, a relationship should not be on again, off again. It is not light switch. I was in off again, on again with Declan from Carpet Warehouse and it was exhaust. Someday I would even forget whether we were off or on and would have to ring up and check to find out if I should be apologise or cross. If you do not know, you are in bad relationship. Look at your Spotify, what is a good way to check. If you have a playlist called Independent Woman, then you are in a bad one and get out. I had got 3 playlists called Independent Woman, which was a very bad sign, and that is why I am now on Inges. Next letter is from Ms. H of Ambridge, who say, I really like my cricket coach, but he stood me up as he has family commitments with his little girl. Is he worth pursue, or is his art not in it? And another one from Weaver's mom, who say, my partner has a precocious 4-year-old who demand and get endless attention, and we don't get any proper time together. Ooh, are these letters from same people? No. Well, first, Miss H of Ambridge, if it was rom-com, he would invite you to go and help look after his little girl, and you would bond with her and plait air. But if it was rom-com, I would be go out with Colin Firth, and sadly, life is not like that. There are 2 type of people in relationship, I think, the star and supporting cast. If you are a star person, then you do not mix well with children, as you want all attention on you. If you are supporting cast, you are good at it, and children like you, and you do not have urge to push them over quite a lot of time. I think you are a star person, so give up on him and find someone who only has cat. And Weaver's mum, this child sound awful. Are you sure you want to spend a lot of time with partner and family or think this child is great when she sound like Mariah Carey in Clark's Sandals? I love Mariah Carey, but she have earned diva status through showing her tonsil when she sing and having boobies like water balloon. At 4, you have not built up enough credit to be Diva. Except me. Diva is the D in my DNA. So, good. We have dealt with romance for this week. If you have any more questions, please email me at ambridgeonthecouch@gmail.com or twat me at fabulousfabrice. Bye!
Radio Borsetshire.
So, you may now go, Miss Catweasel Scraggly
Hair. Oh, we didn't chat about maple dancing, Lucy. Oh, I can't believe we didn't. Because on Sunday in the Arches, they're having a maple thing at Lower Loxley.
Uh-huh.
And obviously, I used to be a maple dancer.
Obviously, I did too.
Did you?
Only you were one of the good girls that did.
Yes.
It's single plait, everybody. Why is people doing double plait? It's single plait. And I was told, but the headmistress got lost her temper with me and said, I'm going in, basically said to the children, I'm going inside, deal with her as you wish, and went. And then all the children turned on me and said, just go and sit over there and don't maple dance, because I was so bad at it.
I'm so sorry, but you only have to go up and down. Up and over,
no,
over and
but
under.
You don't, do you? Because it's
no, there's
all
some very complicated
coordination
ones.
And things and counting.
Oh,
and
I'm so sorry. Was your maple team not on the telly quite often then? Like ours was.
Oh, God. You are insufferable sometimes.
Once, Carol Vorderman came to film us because it was all about maths and patterns.
God.
I must have told you that story.
Was your school like sponsored by RADA or something?
No, this wasn't the school. It was the village. I grew up in an incredibly active village. And there was a lot of drama and a lot of
Were you like a mini Linda
Morris
Snell?
Men.
I know, let's do
yes.
a mama play.
Because I had a mentor who was like Linda Snell. Yeah, we had sword dancing. We'd go over to France and do, I wasn't sword dancing. I can't remember why I went. I think just for the jolly. And there were like Morris men and there was a lot of villagey stuff that went
right.
on. And a lot of pantos and a lot of plays.
God, yeah. You were like a show village.
It was a show village. It was so yeah. good. And only when you become an adult do you realise how lucky.
Yeah. And how much effort it took by somebody
yes.
who probably never got the credit and everyone moaned about them.
She did get the credit.
Oh, okay. Was it
yeah.
your mum?
No. My mum was the opposite. My mum was Azra and said,
I don't do village.
No. I don't do village.
No.
I drive to work and then I'm not seen for a long time. No, it was, I had an amazing, I don't know if she'd like to be mentioned, but she was very, 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 lots of people in my village were, because there was also a choir and music and bands. There were a lot of people
wow.
doing a lot of amazing stuff with, because there was quite a lot of kids. It was a big village, so there was a lot of
so
young
Linda
people.
Snell should have lived in your village and it would have made her really happy because she'd have always had oodles of volunteers to do
oh,
everything.
Oh, God, yeah. There was like, you know, there was like 17 of us all the same, in my school year, all the same age.
People fighting
so
amongst each other to be allowed to sword
yes.
dance or
sword
whatever.
Dancing, yeah. Mm. And the mummers play yeah. all that sort of stuff. Yeah, anyway, I love a bit of maple dancing. Do you remember that one?
No. Because I don't remember it. I was made to go and sit in the corner and not do it.
I think that's so mean. Lucy, if you'd lived in my village, you wouldn't have done
it. But Harriet, you're saying that like I wanted to do it. It was the absolute last thing I wanted to do.
Can you imagine how disgustingly like smug and happy I looked as I was maple
with your little pigtails
with my pigtails and my big grin
whirling
must
around.
Have made people feeling sick. We danced at Sidmouth Folk Festival.
Did you?
That was so fun.
Has
yeah.
Sidmouth recovered?
We must have looked disgusting. But happy memories.
I think the word you're looking for is smug.
Smug and disgusting. Maybe the person I am today. Anyway.
Okay.
Thanks very much for listening.
Brush your hair, pick
Thanks.
The seeds out your teeth.
Yes.
And
hark, I'll just be harking back to the old days all day. And sorry for the rush and getting you up so early. Go and have a lie down.
And yes, but we're going out with Ode to Joy.
Oh, sweet.
From Matt. Thank you very much, Matt. He is as happy as I was to hear her back again.
Yay.
So bye-bye, Harriet.
Goodbye. Patreons, thank you.
Your interviews with me, Jeff and Harriet are coming over this week. So you could have probably come over on Monday, Wednesday and Friday, maybe. And then you'll carry on again with the diary after that.
Brill.
Right.
Okay. See you there.
So thank you very much for Patreoning and hope you're enjoying the diary. And thank you for all the nice comments about the diary. That is very nice to hear. So see you next week, chaps. And we will go out with Ode to Joy and bye-bye, Harriet.
Goodbye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.